It's always exciting to be in a worship service where the presence of God is clearly experienced. And this morning, again, I don't know if you noticed the different moments, but there's times in which it moves beyond the voices of the people singing. And it's like you get in on something that is ancient and something that has been happening around the throne of God for all eternity. And I'm just grateful that we get a chance to be a part of that. Amen? All right. So today we are back in our Equipped series for the first time in 2025. We began the series in 2021. We will finish somewhere between 2031 and 2036. And people always think I'm joking when I say that, but I'm not. When we started the series, I made the comment that we are going to engage in what would be a 10 to 15 year project to equip believers to reverse some alarming trends that are happening within the larger church community as well as within society. And there is no way that we are able to cover all of the things that need to be addressed in your standard 4 to 6 week message series. So I am doing 4 to 6 messages a week or a year, and we're going to do it for 10 to 15 years. Altogether, there will be upwards of 50 to 60 messages, possibly even more than that. Now, I recognize this is an unusual series, but I also want to point out it takes time to change generational patterns. And if we don't play the long game, the church will suffer. I want you to think about this idea. The strength of the church tomorrow reflects the health of its families today. If we want to make sure that the church is strong 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we don't wait until that time to address those things. We focus on what's happening in the lives of the people in the church today. That is what this series has been focused on. So the goal of the series is to equip believers to faithfully walk with Jesus in every stage of life. That means we want to encourage people to walk faithfully if they're single or if they're married, if they're divorced, or if they have been widowed. We want to help individuals see God's design for marriage and how it is that God has given roles to parents and how it is that they can build a family, build a life that is centered around Christ. We're answering questions like, how do you disciple your kids as they transition from childhood to being teenagers, to being young adults, and to being newly married? How do you develop a discipleship plan for your family? How do you share the gospel with young children? How do you protect your family from the influences of a godless culture that is all around them? If the topic addresses the family, the home, there's a really good chance we're going to be covering it in this series. So in our first 4 years, we have covered 18 different messages. And if you would like to check those messages out, they are available on the church's website, also on the church's YouTube page. So far, we have covered, this is not the exhaustive list, but to give you an idea, we have covered establishing a godly home, understanding discipline, developing a discipleship plan. We dealt with societal trends, role reversal, and the need for biblical modeling among the sexes. That was a two-part series. We talked about God's design for marriage, God's instructions for husbands and wives. That was a three-part series. We've talked about the beauty of motherhood, the bravery of fatherhood. We've talked about the blessings of singleness. We've also talked about single parenting and a number of other topics along the way. Lord willing, each of the parts, each of the messages will challenge people to make decisions today that they will be glad they made 10 years from now. We're wanting to change the trajectory of how the church moves forward, and that is focused on discipleship, focused on generational legacies of godliness, focused on how it is that we're growing up, raising up another generation who will stand in the gap one day and faithfully proclaim, this is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what this entire series is about. So today, we are addressing a concern. Maybe I should say a group of related concerns that has been shared with us by a number of families over the last couple of years. And here's basically the way it has been shared with us. People will come up and say, we agree that as parents, we need to be the primary disciplers of our kids. We believe, we see it in the Word, that we are to bring our children up in the teaching and instruction of the Lord. We understand that. But here's the struggle that we have. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to focus. And we also don't know when it's going to happen. Life is so busy, and we see the years that are just moving away, and we feel overwhelmed. Is there a simple, strategic way to be able to disciple our kids effectively? Well, first, let me say, we've heard you. Second, there is hope. And third, we want to help. When I say we want to help, part of that is we just finished an entire series, Finding Rest. And a major part of that was helping individuals deal with the busyness of life to be able to focus on the things that matter the most. And this is one of those things that matters the most. Also, we want to help parents figure out what to do and where to focus and when it can happen. And those pieces are what we're addressing today. Today, we are laying out three personalized action steps. These three personalized action steps, they set the tone for discipleship in the home and outside the home. And let me explain what I mean by that. The same pieces we're talking about in the home for discipleship, the same pieces apply for discipleship outside the home. That is, if you're discipling a friend, you're discipling a coworker, you're discipling another family member, the same pieces are needed. And it comes back to these three key words: train, redeem, pray. Train, redeem, pray. Train, redeem, pray. These are framework pieces. They help you see the big picture of what needs to be addressed. These are freedom pieces. They will free you up to focus on what matters the most. These are foundational pieces. They will lay a foundation for a lifetime of spiritual growth. My goal today is to help people wrestle these pieces to the ground. I want you to fight with them. I want you to see the value of them. I want you to walk out of this room today with a fresh enthusiasm, a passion, an unction that can only come from God, that you are going to act upon what the Word of God says when it comes to training and teaching and pouring into your family. So this morning, if you have a heart to disciple your kids well, if you are burdened about how do I steward the time well, if you want to know that what you're doing is based on the Word of God, I encourage you to pay close attention today. I invite you this morning to have a word of prayer with me. There's going to be multiple passages. Have prayer with me. Let's ask God's blessing upon this time. I'm speaking today on spiritual training in the home. Let's pray. Father, apart from your Spirit, guiding us through the truths of your Word. Lord, we will miss it. Lord, it will simply be words that we've heard, maybe even things we agree with, but it's not going to change how we act. Lord, we need you to put inside of us this fire that can only come from you. God, would you use this time in a way to encourage and equip parents and grandparents as to how it is that they can pour this incredible life of following Jesus into their children and their grandkids. In Jesus' name, amen. Discipleship does not happen by accident. Discipleship does not happen by accident. Efforts must be made. Truths must be taught. Moments must be redeemed. And a way of life must be transferred. Now, each part of what I just described is to be done relationally, prayerfully, regularly, and lovingly. You and I also have to do this from a place of authenticity. We cannot effectively transfer what we are not personally living ourselves. So our lives, how we operate day to day, Monday through Sunday, our lives will either underscore or undermine all of our discipleship efforts. They will watch what we do more than they will listen to what we say. We have to live these principles. Now, let me repeat a phrase I just shared. A way of life must be transferred. A way of life must be transferred. Discipleship is about more than transferring information. It's more than a data dump. It's more than teaching the right things. It's about a way of life. Now, teaching is absolutely a part of it, but it is not all of it. Discipleship includes modeling a way of life, training someone towards that life, walking with them as they embrace that life, and then sending them out to do the same thing for somebody else. Discipleship is going to impact every facet of a person's life. It will impact their thoughts and their actions, their character and their choices, their relationships and their priorities, their present life as well as their future life. All of those things are impacted by discipleship. So it's far more than just information. Discipleship includes information, application, replication, transformation, and multiplication. So I'm going to say it again. Discipleship does not happen by accident. And if it doesn't happen by accident, that means we have to be intentional in our plans all along the way. So today, we are going to walk through three indispensable parts of discipleship in the home and three indispensable parts of discipleship outside the home. All three of these are found in the Word of God, which brings us to our key idea for this morning. Scripture is the most complete manual for spiritual training in the home. If what you're doing does not align with what God says, stop it. I'm going to say that last part again. If what you're doing does not align with what God says, stop it. Stop it immediately. Stop it now. Stop it forever. Don't just stop it for a week and then start it again. Stop it. To be effective in disciple making in the home and outside the home, we go to Scripture first. We go to Scripture regularly. We go to Scripture as our final authority. God's Word is sufficient and complete. If no other book were ever written apart from the Bible dealing with the home and discipleship, we have everything we need already right there in the Word of God. Books can only help us embrace God's plan for discipleship in the home. They should never replace God's plan for discipleship in the home. When you and I understand God's plan as it is found in God's Word, here's what's going to happen. It positions us to be more discerning, to be more confident, and to be more effective in everything that we're doing. This may sound rude, but I'm already off to a good start. We're going to do it anyway. It does not matter what the latest books are saying. It does not matter if the author of that book claims to be a Christian. It does not matter if all of your friends are doing the exact same thing. If what you're doing does not align with what God says, stop it. Why am I so adamant about that? Because new books come out daily, oftentimes with conflicting information with the other book that just came out yesterday. Here's another one. All because somebody says they're a Christian doesn't make them a Christian. And all because somebody is a Christian doesn't mean they're walking with wisdom in the area you're looking at. And here's one final piece. Everybody else was doing it is a poor excuse for walking in disobedience with God. If what you're doing does not align with what God says, stop it. So there's three personalized action steps that we get into today. Here's the first of those. I'll train with the goal in mind. I'll train with the goal in mind. Be determined. Be focused that your training is not just about the moment you're in. Your training is with the goal in mind. It's where it's going to lead 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. You train with the goal in mind. Now, I've got three passages that are in your notes, and all three passages, I want you to listen for the word training. Here's the first, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That's probably one of the most misquoted and misunderstood passages. We're going to spend a lot of our time in that one today. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Ephesians 6:4 out of the NIV. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, there are multiple aspects of training that are mentioned in those passages. Each one has a connection back to God's word. So let me walk through those. For example, Proverbs 22, it's telling us that we are to lead our children, train our children towards the path of wisdom and righteousness. And we're going to see that in the text in just a moment. 2 Timothy 3 speaks of training in righteousness. In Ephesians 6, it speaks of the training and instruction of the Lord. All three passages have connections back to God's word. Here's what I mean by that. God's wisdom, God's righteousness, and God's instructions are all found right there in God's word. So again, if what you're doing does not align with what God says, stop it. Now, based on the text that we've just mentioned, we find that training includes teaching, instruction, correction, discipline, and dedication. We're going to start with this Proverbs 22:6 verse. Like I said, very misquoted, often misunderstood. The passage talks about the fact, train up a child in the way they should go. That word for train in Proverbs 22 has two basic meanings in the Hebrew language. The first of those meanings is to dedicate. It was the same word that was used of dedicating a house in Deuteronomy chapter 20, of dedicating the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, and of dedicating an image in Daniel chapter 3. It speaks of setting something aside, narrowing or hedging in. Now think about that with bringing up children. That is, we are narrowing a child's conduct away from evil and towards godliness. We are setting that child apart unto God, dedicating them unto God. We are hedging them in through discipline and through God's word. Gleason Archer gave several ways that word can be taken. Here they are. Dedicate the child to God. Prepare the child for future responsibilities. Or train the child for adulthood. All three ways are applicable here. That's the dedication piece. But here's the second way that word train is used. It's used to put something into the mouth to be tasted. Now, this is going to sound gross, but I promise you the imagery is worth it. When the text was written, if you'll remember, this is thousands of years ago. When the text was written, baby food as we know it was not a thing. So what would happen? The moms, the grandmothers, the nurses, those who were caring for those babies, they would chew the food first. They would break it down, and then they would give it to that child to eat. Amen. Okay. Think about that. That's the meaning. That's the word, training. It is putting something into the mouth to be tasted. Think of the imagery here. Whatever the child received, the parent first experienced. Did you get that? Before it got to the child, it came through the parent. A few moments ago, I said we cannot transfer what we are not effectively living. This is one of the great passages to help us understand that. By the way, gives all new meaning to taste and see that the Lord is good. Okay, so over time, this word for training became synonymous with training elementary instructions or helping a child taste the truths of God. Now just put together those pieces just from Proverbs 22. To be effective in training our kids, we're setting them apart unto God. We're hedging them in with discipline in God's word. We're narrowing their conduct away from evil and towards godliness. And to make sure that they're getting it, we give them basic instructions. We're breaking things down piece by piece by piece, helping them taste God's truths for themselves. We are experiencing it first so that we can transfer it effectively. Do you see the beauty in this? It's more than just taking your kids to church. It's more than just saying, I'll give you $5 if you read a passage of scripture. It is you walking them through what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's transferring a way of life to your kids. Now, that way of life is huge because in the book of Proverbs, there's only two ways that a child could go. First is the way of the wise and the righteous. The second is the way of a fool and the wicked. There's only two ways. Now, nine verses later, in the exact same chapter, Proverbs chapter 22, Solomon tells us they're already on the wrong way. That's how they were born into this world. Here's what it says, Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from them. Children do not come into this world full of wisdom and ready to obey. They come into this world as miniature fools and rebels. They come into this world already knowing how to rebel, how to get their own way, how to scream for what they want, how to drive a family crazy if you're not careful. They know how to do that. They're little experts. That's why we're training them. So that they're not big experts. So that they don't take it out of childhood into adulthood. And then they transfer it to their kids. And then they transfer it to their grandkids. That's why we got to train them today. If you break generational patterns, you got to start today. If you get anything out of this message, I want you to think about it. What we're talking about today in God's word is going to impact your family 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now. I was sharing with the pastors early this morning that when I've done passages or messages on the home, those who need it the most listen the least. And those who have already gone through that phase of life will come up to me afterwards with tears in their eyes and they'll say, I wish I would have heard that 30 years ago. Don't be that crowd 20 years from now. Make this one of those days. You say, on this day, Palm Sunday 2025, I was determined before God that I'm going to change the legacy in the direction of where my family is going to go. Don't live with regrets in this area. So in this section, we are challenged to train them up. I said a moment ago, they are already on the path of foolishness. So Solomon tells us foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What that means is firmly affixed to the heart. Why is that important? Because foolishness is not going to fall out on its own. Foolishness is not a phase that they're going to grow out of. It's connected to the heart. How do you get rid of it? He says, the rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And by the way, you want it far from them. You don't want them to put it right outside the front door and pick it up on the way to college. You want to get foolishness far away from them. Discipline is a part of training. It's also important to see that the word for child that is used here refers primarily to the earliest years of a child's life. You cannot start too early. You start before birth if you can. You start praying for them. You start praying for yourself before they're born. You start early in this. So the second half of the verse, it says, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is the part that has confused so many parents. There's millions of parents out there who they were bringing their children up. They taught them the ways of God. They disciplined their children. And yet later in life, their child has taken a different path. They go towards foolishness. They go towards unrighteousness. And the parent is standing there saying, is Scripture wrong? Did I miss something? Am I a bad parent? Did I not train my children effectively? It's important for us to realize that Proverbs is in the wisdom literature genre of the Bible. A proverb, by its very nature, is a principle based on a general rule of life. It's not a promise. This is important. In that same exact chapter, chapter 22, verse 29, here's another example of that. It says, do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. Now, that's not a promise that everybody who's good at their job is one day going to stand in front of a king. What it is it's teaching us that doing your work well will often lead to doing it in more prominent areas and before more prominent people. In other words, those who have more influence, they want the best of the best. So they're going to go out and find those who are in the best of the best. That's what the section is teaching. Now, here's another one of those proverbs to, again, show it's not a promise, it's a principle. And here it is, one of my favorite ones, Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Verse 4 says this, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself. The very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Now, you read those two back to back and you're like, am I supposed to answer or not answer? Okay, you're missing the point here. Here's the point of that proverb. You never win if you're arguing with a fool. That's what it's teaching. If you don't answer the fool, they will think they're right. If you answer the fool, you get pulled into their foolishness and they will beat you by experience. The truth is, you never win when you're arguing with a fool. That's the general principle that's coming out of that passage. The general principle in Proverbs 22:6 is train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. The first personalized action step is I'll train with the goal in mind. The goal is to lead the child in the way that child should go. The goal is to lead them onto the path of wisdom, the path of righteousness. The goal is to train them up in the instruction of the Lord. The goal is not, oh, please hear me, parents. Please hear me, grandparents, because grandparents might be worse than parents in this. By the way, it's not cool when you're a grandparent to say, well, now that they're not my kids, I'll do whatever I want with them. You can be undermining your child's home. That is not okay. So here's the principle behind this. When talking about planning, working with the goal in mind, the goal is not, I just want to get out of this moment and make it through this week. The goal is, where are my actions going to lead 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Am I undermining my future opportunity to put Scripture in my kids and to train them in the way of godliness because I'm just trying to get them to stop crying today? The battle, when you understand it, it will keep you in with a determination. My girls will testify. When they were little, myself and Bria, they would try to they would try to do their thing. They were little rebels and maniacs like that as well. They would try to push things, and we would sit them down and we would say, you will not win this. I got all day long. We will come back tomorrow and we'll keep going. We'll come back the next day, we will keep going. You will not win this because we love you too much to let you get out of this moment without the lesson that you need. We're going to sit here until it's received. Amen. I did not plan on saying that, but there you go. All right, so here's the second of those principles. I'll redeem the simple moments of life. I'll redeem the simple moments of life. These next couple of pieces go very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." The context of Deuteronomy chapter 6 is God telling his people how they're to act when they enter Canaan. He gives parents instructions so that their kids and their grandkids will fear the Lord, will obey his commands, and will experience his blessings once they enter the land. Now, these instructions focus on two key areas, on who God is and how to love God completely. Who God is and how to love him completely. Why is that so important? Because if you're unsure of what to teach your kids, teach them who God is and how to love him completely. If you're unsure about when to teach your kids those things, teach them in the simple moments of life. We redeem everyday moments. We buy back everyday moments. We purchase those everyday moments in order to teach these truths. The basic idea of the text is teach your kids who God is and how to love him in the everyday moments of life. Do not wait for the perfect time to disciple your kids. If you are waiting for a moment when your children will lovingly gather around your feet so that you can teach them the Word of God from Genesis through the maps, you will probably never disciple your kids. Those moments just don't happen like that. Instead, redeem simple moments. Buy back the car ride to and from school. Utilize the bedtime stories. Steward the conversations at dinner so that it moves towards who God is and how to love him completely. We teach in the everyday rhythms of life. We train in the moment with the goal in mind, pointing them back towards God in every situation. Whenever our girls were much younger, we would do a family devotional time. It was 10 to 15 minutes at dinner, and we would do it sometimes 3 to 4 times a week. But that was not the only time we were training our girls. Instead, we would speak of God's provision when we go to the grocery store. We would tell them about the fact that there are people all around the world, there are people right here in our state that they're not able to get these items. God has been gracious to us. We would teach our kids about God being the creator when we were out hiking together in nature. We would teach our kids about scripture while we were driving in the car. Something that Bria would do is every time there would be an ambulance that would go by or a wreck on the side of the road, she would take that moment and say, "Let's pray for whoever's involved right now." And they would instantly pray in that moment. That's redeeming a moment. That's using a everyday moment in directing kids back towards God. Now, verse number 6, it says, "These words shall be on your heart." That's talking to parents. But then verse 7 in the New Living Translation says, "Repeat them again and again to your children." Here's a thought. we talk about what's on our heart. If he's on our heart, he will become on their heart. We talk about the things that are close to us. When we are constantly teaching our kids about who God is and how to love him completely, we have now laid a foundation for long-term discipleship. Everything flows out of a relationship with God. And our relationship with God will never grow beyond our knowledge of God. When you're teaching them who God is, you're giving them the knowledge of who he is. When you teach them how to love God completely, you are teaching them how to experience that love relationship with God. Right there, Deuteronomy 6, it's laying the groundwork for a lifetime of discipleship. So let me pause here for just a moment. When we are teaching our kids about who God is and how to love him, somebody might say, well, what exactly do we teach at that point? Like, do we just say that over and over again? Because the things you teach your child at 3 are different than what you teach your child at 13, and that's different than what you teach your child at 23. There's differences in what they can understand. So a number of years ago, I wrote down, after spending just some time, just prayerfully saying, God, what are foundational truths that would help teach who you are and how to love you? What are foundational truths that we can put into our girls over and over again that would provide a framework for a lifetime of discipleship? I divided those truths down into 3 different sections: early truths, developing truths, and long-term truths. For simplicity's sake, I just aligned it with the girls' school. We dealt with some pieces from birth all the way through the elementary school years, some pieces in the middle school years, other pieces in the high school years. I stopped at the end of the high school years, not because I'm going to stop and Bria's going to stop training, but because we didn't know if we were going to be the primary ones around them at that time. We want to continue and invest, but we wanted to make sure if 18's around the age that most children are going out to college or joining the military or joining a trade, we wanted to make sure they were leaving our house prepared. So we would go through these specific truths. Now, it did not mean that I wouldn't share early truths at a later date, and it also did not mean that Bria would not share later truths at an earlier date. It just meant that in that section of time, we were going to emphasize certain pieces. And all of these pieces we taught were statements to help them remember well. Pause. One of the things I believe the church has not been as effective in as what we could is we teach primarily Bible stories without Bible truths to go alongside of it. They know there was something about a guy named Daniel and there were some lions around him. They don't necessarily know what are you to see from that. How are you to see God? Now, I'm not saying that's always the case, but I'm saying again, correcting issues that are happening in the larger church community, that has been a concern. So we would teach simple truths with Bible passages, and in many ways, we were creating a very simple catechism for our girls to learn. Now, I'm not going to get into all of these pieces, but here's what I can tell you. In the next several weeks, we're going to provide resources. One of those cards will have those early truths. Then it's going to also be the developing truths. Then there's going to be another one that will have some of the long-term truths. We want to give you something, even if you're like, hey, I want to use that to build on. Fantastic. But at least you have something that you can use within your family. So here's one of those pieces that we come to at the very end. And it seems like it's a catch-all, but it's one that has to be mentioned right now. That is the third action step is I'll pray through every part. I'll pray through every part. We start in prayer. We proceed in prayer. We end in prayer. Prayer is constantly happening all the way through. So there's going to be times you don't know what to do. You pray. There's going to be times that you're going to face problems that you can't solve. You pray. There's going to be things that happen in your child's life that will break your heart. You pray. There's going to be moments, days, you want to throw in the towel and say, they're just going to have to figure it out themselves. Instead of doing that, you pray. You pray constantly. You start in prayer. You proceed in prayer. You end in prayer. There's three passages that I put there for you. Romans 8:26 is a good one for this. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. When we don't know what to pray for as we should, He intercedes with groanings that we cannot understand. When you don't know what to pray for, God does. Another good one is Philippians 4:6 of the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything, pray about everything. That is a passage every parent, every grandparent needs to memorize. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. For those who want to be effective in discipleship, for those who want their kids and their grandkids to be protected when they're not around to protect them, for those who are wanting their kids and their grandkids to have a heart change, not just behavior modification, for those who are wanting their kids and their grandkids to make the right decisions today that will impact their opportunities tomorrow, the most effective thing you can do is pray, pray, pray. You pray over and over and over again. Every new challenge is an invitation to keep on praying. Everything that they're facing enables you to walk with them through prayer. God can do more in 3 seconds of prayer than you can in 30 years of badgering them. Pray. Now, here's the problem with that. We hear it, but we're like, it's not going to work. I've been praying. There's some things that it's not just getting the answer. It's about God taking the parent through the right process. If God gave us the answer on day one, I guarantee you we would not be nearly as desperate and come to Him nearly as often in prayer. It's a part that's not only about the child's future. It's about the parent's walk with God. We pray over and over and over. So those are three action steps. I'll train with the goal in mind. I'll redeem the simple moments of life. I'll pray through every part. As we close out in this service, I want to let you all know, this church wants to partner with parents and grandparents, helping their kids understand and helping them learn. I've already shared, we're going to bring out a number of resources. We'll let you know when those are available. But a lot of times people don't even know, but right now in our preschool ministry and in our elementary ministry, there are pieces that they pick up whenever you're checking your kid in. And in there, it gives, here's a Bible story overview. This is how you redeem your drive time. This is how you redeem the morning time. This is how you redeem the bedtime. It gives questions to ask. It gives pieces to teach. Literally, watch this, watch this. You don't even see I got a discipleship resource, do you? And then all of a sudden you're like, bam, right here. You pull that thing out. They just go everywhere. Here's the thing. Like, it's so simple. There's some parents out there that they're like, I don't know where to start. In this church, we're saying we want to work hard to put the resources in your hands so that you can walk with your kids the right way. The same is happening in student ministry right now with Dalton. The resources are there. Right now for Easter, we have a different piece. It's teaching your kids in Easter. All you gotta do is pick it up, and then you walk with your kids through it. It's all there. Don't let 2025 get away from you, and you're not yet in the place of saying, God, I want it to be different. Redeem the time. God gives hope for those who are willing to trust Him and to follow Him. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow with me for prayer. His heads are bowed for just a moment. There are going to be people in the room right now that their children are primarily, they're grown, they're out of the house, and sometimes those are the ones who will hear a message like this and it will sting the worst. But the issue is the fact with God, he can redeem any situation. We start with where we are today. We pray, we trust, we train, we redeem today. And God has a way of turning things that we could never do. There are younger families that are in the church right now, and their kids are still so young, so moldable. I cannot encourage you enough. Don't wait on these things. There are grandparents in here, and they're thinking, well, my kids are out. They're grown. But right now, you get an opportunity to invest in your grandkids, maybe your great-grandkids. Don't let the opportunities pass by. We're going to have a final song of invitation. Some of our pastors and pastors' wives will be along the front. It might be that this morning is a time that people are saying, I need to make a fresh commitment in my training of my kids. Whatever that might be, I encourage you, move forward as the Spirit of God leads you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We ask God right now that you would give hope, that you would give encouragement, that you would give fire in our bellies to redeem legacies and to make sure that our kids and our grandkids are ready to not only meet you one day, but to walk with you every day. Lord, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? We have a final song of invitation. The altar is open. Would you respond as God leads?